It's very nice to see a number of visitors here this morning. Hope you'll enjoy, you have enjoyed and will enjoy the rest of our time together this morning. In a moment, I'm going to say a few words about prayer, one of those things that's quite hard to communicate because most people have tried it. Not everybody finds it easy. So I want to try and help to encourage you a little bit. But what is most encouraging is hearing stories about prayer. What's encouraging is often hearing stories about prayer, getting tips from other people on how they pray. So it was so encouraging to hear about Sandra and the little tiger story. And I know what pain Sandra has been through in her neighbor situation. It's been so difficult, she didn't really want to talk about it in detail, so I won't. But it was a real answer to prayer, and something that, you know, had caused a lot of aggro. So, you know, praise God for answered prayer. Monica is going to share a thought or two.
Thank you. Morning. I'm not here because I know how to pray or because I pray in any particular way. I'm here, I think, because I sat next to Nick at a prayer meeting one day. Anyway, I've given my little talk, it's just a few minutes, a title which is How to Pray with a Cat on Your Lap. Now, that might give you a picture of a cat curled up, fast asleep, very peaceful, which would be fine. But unfortunately, my cat isn't always like that. Sometimes he is, but very often he prefers to climb up on my shoulder or wrap himself around my neck like a scarf or just claw at my clothes, which is a bit distracting if I want to be praying. So I'm thinking a little bit about the things that stop us or stop me praying and how to sort of deal with those. When I first became a Christian, I didn't have a Christian home, so I didn't know a lot about anything, really. I thought, okay, I've become a Christian, I ought to pray. So I knelt down and by my bed, because I thought that was quite a good thing to do. And then I thought, okay, what am I supposed to do now? Because I didn't know. And so I said to God, I don't know how to pray. So that was my first prayer. And God, who is merciful, heard my prayer. And I heard him speak to me and he said, be still and know that I am God. I didn't know at the time that that comes from the Bible. But I must have heard it at some point, and God brought it to my mind. And he heard my heart, my honesty. And that was the beginning, really, of my beginning to pray. At first, in those early days, I was living at home with my family. I was a teenager. And I thought, you know, my family were a bit of a problem because they were around all the time, you know, and sometimes I wanted to pray and they were there, and I thought, oh well, it'd be much better once I've left, once I've gone to university, it'll be easier, right? But I found when I got to university, actually, there were more people around more of the time, so it really wasn't helpful, and I think sometimes we think it will be better when, okay, I'll be able to pray when my situation is different. But God, you know, wants us to pray. He's not interested in rules. He's interested in a relationship with us. And that can happen whatever our situation is. So I think for me, I found really that the main hindrance to prayer is not other people. It's actually me and my heart. And so I needed God to do something. And I still need God to do something in my heart to help me to pray. Okay, I'm very, very grateful for people who have prayed for me, particularly over this last year. And I've known God working in my life because of other people's prayer. And that encourages me to pray for other people. And what I find helpful often is to have a plan. Okay, to have a plan. So this isn't a set of rules. It's a plan so that I can do something, I can pray. And sometimes I will use the Lord's Prayer and pray through that. And sometimes I will take a plan like starting with confession and thanksgiving and then praying for things. And sometimes I will take the Bible. This is really my preferred method. I take the Bible and I read and I take the verses from the Bible and I use those to pray. But what I find is if I get to a stage where I'm just doing it, because that's what I do, I change the plan. Because the plan isn't a set of rules. The plan is just there to help me. And so that helps me. And I find with my cat, I get him organized before I start to pray. So I make sure he's got food, and I make sure he's got water, and I make sure he hasn't been sick anywhere. Because those things, he needs attention, and he won't let me forget it. But once that is sorted out, hopefully, he will settle down, generally. But even if he doesn't, I just go for it. God loves me. I'm so grateful that God loves me. And God is not like a boss summoning me to his office. He's more giving me an invitation to his party. And so I think, you know, even after many, many years of stumbling through praying, I'm still really in the position of saying to God, I don't know how to pray. Please help me. And also, sometimes my desire is weak. And so I also need God to help change my heart so that I want to pray more. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Monica. Well, we've had tigers, we've had cats. I haven't got any animals in my bit. But yeah, thank you, Monica. That's very encouraging. Quite a few nuggets there. At the end of my talk, I want to suggest that if you want to pray more, find somebody that prays. So find somebody that you think might pray a bit more, a bit better than you do, and ask them what they do. Because there are no set rules. And I've found in my life, my Christian life, I have tried this, tried that, tried the other, and they've all been good. And sometimes it's good to have variety. The main thing is that we pray. Is it not? And Monica has had an extraordinary testimony this year where God has really preserved her life from a life-threatening illness, I think you call it. She's not talked about it, but amazing answer to prayer that was. Really extraordinary. The other thing I'd like to say is that Monica's cat is a serious problem. I was talking to her son-in-law, Martin, one day, and he said that when he stayed at Monica's, he would sometimes wake up and the cat would be asleep on his face. This is a friendly cat, a very over-friendly cat. Okay, quite a number of you weren't here last week, so I want to just recap very briefly on some of the things that that we were talking about. First of all, I felt God put a verse on my heart for 2015, and this was for me. Maybe it'll be for you as well, I don't know. But it was this verse in Mark 11:17. Jesus was teaching them and said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." I felt that there were two things in there. One is that God is encouraging us to reach out, that God is always reaching out to all people, and we need to keep our focus outwards. And the second thing is that in doing that, it's absolutely crucial and vital that we pray. We looked at how God's heart all through the Old Testament had been reaching out. Even when God called Abraham, he said, "I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to do some lovely things for you, and you will be a blessing. And through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." And they were, because through Abraham came Jesus. And through Jesus, the gospel, the good news, was opened up to everybody. In the Old Testament law, there was provision for Gentiles, non-Jews, coming in. At the Temple of Solomon, there was a court that was built, especially for the Gentiles. And so God always had that. When Isaiah prophesied, he said of Jesus, I'm calling you to be a light to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews, as well as being the glory of my people Israel. We also looked at what a privilege it is to live in London. We've got some people here. Lovely to have Patrick and Carol and their family. And Verdun and Regina, who've been abroad doing missionary work. And there are probably others as well. But we have an enormous privilege in London that God has brought so many nations to this great city. In London 2011, I think there's an overhead, the census told us that there was in this city a population of just over 8 million. There are over 300 languages spoken in this city. There are more than 50 non-indigenous communities with a population of more than 10,000. If you want to understand what a non-indigenous community is, but you can look it up in a dictionary and tell me later. And this extraordinary statistic that 37% of the population of London were born outside the UK. This is a city that people come to in their millions. And I believe that it's the privilege and the challenge and a responsibility of the church in London, not just this little part of it, but the whole of the church in London, to bring Jesus to those that come in. I also drew last week a parallel with Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. A bit of the Pentecost story that we sometimes forget is that God had brought people, it says, devout Jews from every nation under heaven, Acts 2, verse 5. So on the day of Pentecost, all these Jews from around the Mediterranean came to Jerusalem for the great feast of Pentecost. And they got more than they were bargaining for, because the Holy Spirit fell on that 120 who were praying in that upper room. And as they spilled out on the street and they were speaking in the languages of those nations, the great and mighty things of God, many of those people that had come were converted and baptized and went back across the Mediterranean to their different countries. And there's a sense where we could be like that as we allow God to touch our lives. And then our lives touch those that come to this country, to this city, can go back having actually encountered Jesus. And we've got stories, obviously, in the church of where people have come to know Jesus here. I think immediately of one guy who came from a communist country, sat in the meeting as an atheist with his wife, who was a Christian, came just from sympathy. And after many months, he became a Christian. He used to sit there reading the Bible out of respect, and he got it. And he's now serving God back in his country in the Czech Republic. And we have such opportunity. We also saw Luke 24:49, that our efforts would be futile without the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Luke 24:49, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've received power from on high. And that can be translated until you have been clothed with power from on high. And so we need to be continually seeking God to clothe us with the Holy Spirit, to fill us with the Holy Spirit, so that we've actually got something to offer people. The man standing at the gate, beautiful, he said to Peter and John, he looked up at them expecting to receive something from them. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but what I've got, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and be healed. And he was. And it was an amazing thing. So we need to touch the power and the presence of God by the Holy Spirit. That's our challenge, so that we've actually got something to give. We then looked at three things that the early church had in place before the Holy Spirit came. Before, note, not after the Holy Spirit. There was enormous, an outbreak of gifts and fruit of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost. But before the Spirit fell, there were three things, as it were, lined up in place. The first was that they knew their mission. They knew what they were there for. And I think that's something that we often miss. We're so tied up with our own lives and our own things, sometimes just surviving that we forget that there is a greater purpose for our being where we are, and that is to bring Jesus to those around us. And that's a challenge to me, believe me. And so I have to ask God to stir up my heart, to give me a love for those that don't know Jesus, to make the gospel real to me, that it would actually matter to me that my neighbor needs to hear the gospel. Now, I don't know where you are on a scale from of A to B, or rather A to Z on that. I think I'm pretty much near A, and I need God to move in my heart to make me more passionate, to give me more faith. And prayer is one of the ways, probably the main way that that can happen. Number two, they were united, and we cannot put a high enough price on our unity as a church. We greatly value our unity and new life amongst the leaders, amongst everybody here, amongst our local leaders. We have a wonderful prayer meeting once a month with the guys at St. Luke's, Chalk Farm Baptist Church, Revelation Church, and I'd love to invite more people to that, because God loves unity. And God comes where people are united. The Bible teaches that. So we need to stay right in our hearts with one another, because one of the biggest weapons of the devil is to separate and divide. And I love that slogan of the Evangelical Alliance, which has those two words, better together. And we know that the pro-union party stole that, didn't they? They said it was better that Scotland stayed together. But actually, the church is far more important than that, that we stay together, because the Holy Spirit will come if we do. And the third thing, and this is our theme this morning, they were, it says, devoted to prayer. These were frightened people. These were marked men and women, this 120 that gathered. It may have been as much for protection as for God to empower them. But they were there, these frightened people. They knew their mission, but it must have been a terrifying prospect. And they were devoted to prayer. Sometimes need drives us to our knees. Those of us that have learned to pray a little bit, I believe that need, the need in our life, is often the trigger to teach us to pray. Better if it wasn't, but usually it is. In Acts 14 says, all of these were with one accord, one heart, it says, devoting themselves to prayer. Big word, devotion, isn't it? The Bible says we should be devoted to one another. And it says we should be devoted to prayer. That means actually giving prayer a priority and making it important in our lives. There was a guy called A.T. Pearson who was greatly used of God in bringing the gospel to people. And he said this, there has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in united prayer. And I've studied a lot about awakenings in different countries down the generations. And I haven't found a situation yet where prayer wasn't a very important part of, like, a magnet drawing God down. I don't know what you think of the word revival. I love the word revival because in my mind, I see it as a great thing. Some people think of it as something that we shouldn't really talk about or whatever. But for me, it means God doing stuff. And whatever you think of it, we need God to do stuff. We, in our little congregation here in North London, could do very little by ourselves. But we need the Holy Spirit. So we need to have that mission in front of us. We need to be devoted to one another. And we need to be praying people as priority. I want to look at just one passage now to encourage us to pray. And I love this passage. The other morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning, as sometimes happens with Joe and I, we woke up. And we've had a little trouble recently getting to sleep. And I said to Joe, I've been thinking about a verse. This is the verse coming up. It's Matthew 11, 28 to 30, which is, come unto me, you who are tired and weighed down, burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I just felt, you know, God was saying, we need to come to him more with the things that are bothering us in our lives so that we're not so anxious. And Jo said, well, funnily enough, she said, just before I went to bed tonight, I open up my Bible randomly, and that was the verse that I read. Of all the verses in the Bible, it's happened many times, hasn't it, with many of us. You know that God is speaking. And I've been meditating again on this verse. And I want to just have a look at it. Number one, come to me. What a wonderful, wonderful privilege this is, that Jesus is inviting you and me to come to him. What better person could there be to have an invitation? I don't know what the best invitation is you've ever had, whether you've been invited to some special party. I know Raywin got some tickets she gave to some friends, to an invitation to Buckingham Palace for a tea with the Queen. A nice invitation. But this is a better one. We have been invited personally to Jesus. And prayer is, in its essence, is this. It is coming to Jesus. And every time we come to Jesus, he will come to us. The Bible says if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And he's inviting us. So see this morning, that you have an invitation to come to Jesus. Now, who is this invitation to? If you were holding a celebrity party, anybody here held a celebrity party? You might want to invite the rich, the famous, the beautiful, the successful, the sporty, the independent, the self-made people. Those are the people you might want to have to your party. But Jesus doesn't invite those kind of people. Of course he does, actually, doesn't he? Because he wants all the beautiful people, all the sporty people, all the successful people, all the rich. But actually, the condition is not that. I remember Dan Snead sharing one day something that Jim Cimbala had said of Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, that God is attracted to weakness. And it's like a magnet that pulls God. He's attracted to weakness. But the proud, he is far away from. So if we don't acknowledge our weakness and our need, we can't expect to get much from God, because he gives grace to the humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see God. And sometimes God has to convince us of our need. The hardest thing for God to do is to convince us that we need him, because we think we're okay. I'm rich enough, God. I'm good enough, God. I'm strong enough. I can cope with this, God. But as we are weakened and we see our weakness, we come to him. Because this is for the tired. What is a tired person? Somebody who's maybe been through a lot. I don't know if you've been through a lot. I sold my business last year. 25 years of hard slog. I was tired. I'm still tired. In fact, what it was like, kind of, you know, the engine had been running full tilt for 25 years. And you know, we stopped the car, we put on the brakes, but the engine kept running. And it's taken a while to kind of wind down from that. And some people have been through things and they're just tired. Some people have been through sickness, and some people have been through failure. Some people have been through sin. You know, there is nothing more tiring than sin, in my experience. That you do something that is deliberately wrong, and, you know, it could take a week or more to recover from that, because it's like a wound in our spirits. And we get tired and discouraged. We've tried to be victorious. We've tried to win the battle. We've tried to beat this. We've tried to do that. And we have failed. And we get discouraged. I've been praying this morning for the discouraged people in the church. Maybe people who've tried to pray and they failed. They tried to be a witness and they failed. Well, God is attracted to weakness. That's the good news. This is actually the gospel that I'm preaching this morning. Come to me, all you who are tired, is the essence of the gospel. And weighed down. Maybe you're weighed down by current circumstances. I doubt there's a person here this morning that hasn't got something that burdens them. And that's okay. As long as you get God to carry it with you. The Bible says that he is the one who daily bears our burden. We are made, our nervous systems are made for love, joy, and peace. They are not made for anxiety and fear and to carry these things around. So Jesus said, what's the promise? What is the reward? I mean, is this difficult? You're getting a reward for coming to Jesus? Yes. If you come to him and you're tired and you're heavy laden, he will give you rest. You can't earn it. He said, my peace I give unto you. And there is a depth of peace, something supernatural, the breath of heaven that will come and bring a calm to our souls. I will give you rest. It's a promise. We come, he gives rest. That's good news. And learn from me. Learn from me. There are three commands in this passage. Number one is come to me. That's a hard one, isn't it? You know, we have to break the momentum and make a move to God. Secondly, Jesus says, take my yoke on you. What's that? And the third thing is learn from me. So how are we going to do this praying thing? How are we going to do this coming to him? There are some clues here. First of all, we accept his yoke. So we say, God, I will say yes to what you're asking me to do, whatever that is in life, however difficult it seems, however easy it seems, I'll say yes. I'll take your yoke. This person, this annoying person I live with, this difficult person at work, I'll say, okay, God, thank you. Thank you. I accept your yoke. And then we're ready for Jesus to teach us. Okay, let's learn. He says, learn from me because I am meek and humble in heart. This is God we're talking about. This is the almighty, all-knowing, all-seeing, eternal God who has come to earth. And Jesus says, I am meek, meek and humble in heart. So he wants us to learn from his meekness, and he wants us to learn from his humility. First of all, his meekness. Meek is not weak. Meekness is not weakness. It doesn't mean being weak. Jesus was not pathetic. There are only two people on earth in the Bible described as meek. One is Moses, one is Jesus. Moses was not weak. He went back into the place where his name was written in the post office. His face was there, the most wanted man. And he went straight up to Pharaoh and says, I want to take all the people of Israel out of your country. Meek. The Bible says, and these are the words, Moses was the meekest man on earth. Nobody could call Jesus meek. This passage where he says that his house should be a house of prayer for all nations was in the context of him going into the temple and turning upside down all the tables of the money changers and casting people out of the temple. That is not weak. Jesus was meek. Meekness is strength in harness. There is an old expression, as meek as an ox. Now, an ox is very strong and actually can be quite dangerous, but it learns to submit. It's trained to carry a yoke. It's strength under harness. And God wants to get our strength under harness, and that is by prayer. Jesus said, and this is meek, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. He harnessed his great strength and his will to God's will. Secondly, humility. Jesus said, by myself, I can do nothing. Now that is an incredible statement, isn't it? And God's saying that to each one of us. If that's true of Jesus, it's true of us. I cannot do anything that is worth anything in this life by myself. I can by myself do nothing. So, what did Jesus do? Did he just sit on his hands waiting for something to happen? No, he didn't. He was very active, but he was active in God's strength. There's a beautiful verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And many of us could probably quote it. If my people will humble themselves and pray. Anybody know the rest of it? Someone want to shout it out? Seek my face. And seek my face and turn from their sins, then I will hear from heaven. There are conditions, aren't there? Seeking his, praying, seeking his face, turning from our sin. But the first thing is prayer. If my people humble themselves and pray, and I truly believe that prayer is the result of humility. A humble person prays. If you're not praying, you're proud. I'm sorry to say that. And I am proud if I'm not praying, because what I'm basically saying is, God, I can do this by myself. And believe me, I need to pray more. I do. And a lot of my days are spent in pride because I'm fending for myself. But God wants us to come to him and bring our stuff to him and not to carry our own burdens. So we need to be doing his things in his way. How do we pray? Just a few thoughts, very few thoughts. There's so many ways to pray. It's hard to know where to start. But these are just some things that could be useful. Come with thanks. Just say thank you. Just say, God, I can't think what I'm going to pray about today. So think about your day. Think about your situation and start to thank God for those things. Come with your stuff. Come with your things to do list. God delights in helping us. We had a problem with the tribe room before we came to the meeting. And Joe and I had been very busy. She was getting ready for Flame. I was getting ready for the talk. And on the way, we said, God, I'm sorry we've been in such a rush this morning, but please have mercy on us again and help us, please. And we said, oh, and by the way, when we get to church, could we be able to sort out the tribe room? Because we've been allocated, one of our rooms for the children, the young people, had been taken away. So we went in and we walked down the corridor and a new room had opened up, the door was open, absolutely beautiful for tribe. But we'd prayed about that. It's the little things as well as the big things, and we thank God. We thanked God for that straight away. We just said, there we are, one answer prayer straight away. Thirdly, set your watch. I've been doing this recently. I've allocated myself a time to pray. I'm on my phone. I've got one of these things that you can pause. And there are lots of interruptions in my life, and they're not the cat. And so, you know, I'll pray for a while, and then I have to do something. Something happens. I put it on pause. And then if I can, I'll go back to it straight away. If not, I'll come back later in the day so that by the end of the day, I can look at my watch and say, I have prayed for that time. Now, you may think that's legalistic. I'm just telling you, it helps me. I don't know if you pray much at all. And I would suggest that if you don't pray much, just start with 5 minutes. And you might find that hard. But set your watch. Okay, God, I'm going to pray for 5 minutes. And then after 5 minutes, you think, oh, that wasn't enough time. That was easy. Set your watch for 10 minutes and so on. But challenge yourself a little bit and make sure you pray. And finally, I just want to say, pray with other people. It's such a blessing. I pray in twos. But Joe and I pray. We share a house with Raywin. So usually at least once a week, we pray with Raywin just about the things that are going on in our lives or maybe for the Sunday morning meeting or something. All of you got people you can pray with. Some of you students, I'm really glad to hear that you get together. And I expect, I hope, I think you pray. You should pray. I see some nods there. When we get together, let's pray. I find any opportunity to pray. If I go and see somebody, if there's an opportunity, I'll say, shall we pray at the end of it? Because I just know that God answers prayer. We've got 2 prayer meetings. One is on Tuesdays at 7:30 at Highgate Road Chapel. And it is great. And God has changed my heart there. I've gone from a place where my heart was quite cold to a place where it's a little bit warmer. But God heats our hearts. We receive something as we pray. And we have the Sunday morning prayer meeting at 10:45. And it is brilliant. So if you can, I'd really encourage you to come. I've never been to that prayer meeting, honestly, and I haven't felt a change in my heart. I don't know what it is about it. Maybe it's because it's short. Maybe it's because it's focused. Maybe because, it's urgent. But we just pray, and people come, and some people come late, and it doesn't matter because we know we're there to pray and get something from God, and it works, and it's fantastic. So I would just encourage you to do that. pray with people at work. I hope we'll go on having testimonies of prayers. One very, very final thing is we need to pray outward beyond ourselves. And yes, first of all, we do need to get something from God ourselves. We really do. We need to go into our days knowing that God has touched us. We've got a bit of joy, a bit of peace, something of Jesus in our hearts. But Paul said this. You know, you'll find several times in the epistles, remembering you in my prayers. Maybe the Philippians or the Thessalonians or the Romans, and all of them, he seems to be saying, remembering you in my prayers. And I'm thinking, this guy must have prayed an awful lot, and I believe he did. But, you know, sometimes it's good to have a list. One of the things Sandra didn't talk about is, I know she's got a list, because somebody I love very much is on that list, and I'm very grateful to God. And she prays through her list. And just having a list, even if we don't pray every day, it's there. It reminds us of the people outside our lives. And sometimes I just read through my list and just remember, oh yeah, yeah, God, could you touch that person's heart? Could you turn their heart towards you? Could you shine your light in their lives and then move on to the next person? Or pray about them all together. But it's good to think about people apart from ourselves. Okay, let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you have promised that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. Father, this morning, let's all of us just close our eyes and just think about Jesus saying, come to me. Come to me. He's inviting us just in our hearts. Say, Lord, I'm coming to you this morning. I'm just coming to you this morning. I come to you, Jesus. Would you come to me, Lord? Would you warm my heart, Lord? Would you teach me to pray? The Bible says the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you help us in our weakness. Lord, you know that on the A to Z scale, most of us are pretty near A, Lord. And yet we know that there's a huge benefit in praying, Lord. And so, Father, we pray this day, help us, Lord, to pray. Father, I pray for everybody here this morning, including myself, that you will give us a creative idea. Maybe where we pray. Maybe how we pray. Maybe with who we pray. Maybe how long we pray. Something that will help us to just pray a bit more this year, Lord. Amen. Amen. I would like to suggest, if we could, maybe just break up into twos or threes, find somebody, you know, that you don't have to know them. If they look like they're not going to bite you, then they're probably good people to talk with. And just say maybe there's something about prayer. Perhaps you could say, actually, I'm finding prayer really difficult at the moment. Could you pray with me that God will help me? Or I find it really hard. How do you pray? Is there something that you find helpful or easy? Let's have a little discussion and make sure that as well as the discussion, we pray as well. So try and find somebody that you can just pray with. If you can't find somebody, I'll try and find somebody for you.